Welcome back to the program. It's the Vicki McKenna Show. All right, let's talk about violence, crime, things like that. We're constantly hearing that we have to disarm the United States. You've got Virginia trying to ban AR-15s, which is stupid. You've got the attempted Glock ban in California. The Department of Justice is telling both of those states that they are going to pursue cases against them, claiming that both cases violate multiple Supreme Court rulings on the Second Amendment. But put that aside for a second. The whole argument that the left continues to make for gun control, which they will never give up, even though it is not that popular, is that we have to solve the problem of violence. And every time violence pops up, that's because of gun control. We don't have enough of it. So John Lott has got a piece for Real Clear Investigations that I want to share. You can find it at crimeresearch.org. How violent is the United States? If you actually look at it broadly, And then look at it in the sort of microscopic way, how bad are we compared to other countries?
Well, the United States is very safe in terms of violent crime compared to other developed countries, at least the ones that we can get data for. And the problem is that people often, when they make comparisons, look only at the rate that crimes are reported to police. And that varies a lot across countries. So, for example, if you take something like rape, for example, about 45% of rapes are reported to police in the United States, rapes and sexual assaults. In a country like Australia, it's 19%, according to the Australian Bureau of Statistics, and I think that's high. But even if you just take their numbers there, what you find is that, let's say the true rape and sexual assault rate was identical for the United States and Australia. The fact that we have more than twice the rate that people are reporting the crimes to the police, if you only look at the reported numbers, it would make it look like the United States has a lot more rapes and sexual assaults than Australia. So what the governments do in some countries around the world, unfortunately not many, but some of them, is do massive surveys. In the United States, we have something called the National Crime Victimization Survey done by the Department of Justice, and they've been doing this for 53 years now. They survey 240,000 people each year. I mean, a large survey for a presidential election across the country, maybe like 10,000 people. So this is 240,000. In Australia and Canada are a couple of the countries that have these surveys for other countries. And what you find, for example, for rape and sexual assault, Australia's rate, their total rate, is three times higher than the rate in the United States. Burglaries are 2.5 times higher. Assaults are twice as high. And even those are underestimates because the surveys are a little different in the different countries. In Australia, for example, they just ask, have you been a victim of crime? They don't count the number of times that you've been a victim of crime. So if you've been robbed twice or sexually assaulted twice over the course of a year, that only counts as one case in Australia. In the United States, that would count as two. So even with that bias to make the United States look relatively worse than Australia, you have overall violent crime in Australia is more than twice the violent crime rate in the United States.
And then if you look into the United States, where does most of the violent crime come from? You have a statistic here that kind of blew my mind. Just 2% of counties account for 54% of all murders. 2% of counties. I decided to do a little bit deeper of a dive on that. Of homicide suspects, 90% of them had a prior arrest for a violent crime. Right. This is according to Grok. Okay, here's my source. I'm using AI. AI says that 90% of homicide offenders had an arrest for a previous violent crime. So, that's insane. So if you look at shootings, it's something like 75% had a previous arrest. So why aren't we just putting people in prison and dealing with the problems, even in these concentrated areas where violent crime is high? And by the way, and you've done even more granular analysis than that, and you said it's in a 10-block radius. So the 50,
right,
you know, whatever.
If you look at those 2% of the counties, two-thirds of their murders, two-thirds of this 54%, occur roughly within 10-block areas within those counties. So the United States is very unique in terms of how incredibly geographically concentrated our murders are and violent crime is.
So then let's keep digging. Let's just keep going down the hole here. And I don't know if you have this data off the top of your head, but in the 10 block areas where most of the murders are taking place, how many of those 10 block areas are in cities that have prosecutors that are not putting violent offenders aggressively behind bars, that are practicing, you know, woke restorative justice nonsense, and have judges that seem intent on making sure that we continue to give violent offenders second chance, third chance, fourth chance?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure I can answer that precisely, but what you can say is, look, and you and I have talked about this many times, this isn't rocket science. If you want to reduce crime, you have to make it riskier for criminals to go and commit crime, and that means higher arrest rates, higher conviction rates, longer prison sentences. It means letting victims be able to go and defend themselves. And you have a number of these Democratic-controlled areas, and crime is largely dealt with locally in terms of policing policies, in terms of the district attorneys that you have, in terms of the judges are elected locally. And, you know, they determine the riskiness for criminals going and committing crimes. And unfortunately, I mean, there's been some improvement in places like Los Angeles and San Francisco. So, they got rid of the Soros district attorneys there, but
let me just interrupt for 1 second because I got to check something because my headphones are not processing your audio that clearly. Brandon, are you getting distortion on his end? Nope. Okay, good. That's just me. Then I'm good. Sorry to interrupt you there because you're on a roll. I was just getting some distortion, right, and I wanted to make sure we
sure
made sure. No. Okay, so please continue. I apologize, John, and everyone.
No, I mean, there's been some changes. There's been changes both in terms of the district attorneys who have been elected in some parts of the country. But one of the big changes that we see is at the federal level. You look at U.S. attorneys across the country. In Washington, D.C., during the Biden, and these are appointed by the president, in Washington, D.C., during the Biden administration, the Democratic U.S. attorney there refused to bring charges against 67% of the people who were arrested by the police in D.C. Under Judge Jean Pirro, so far last year and this year, she's only not bringing charges against 4% of the people who have been arrested by police versus the 64%. And not only is she bringing charges against them, she's making sure that they face real punishments that
good
are there, not the type of plea bargains that were being there. So, and you know, at the same time, the number of arrests by the FBI has doubled last year compared to the last year of the Biden administration. You know, you see a huge sea change in terms of the risk. Plus, of course, we've been deporting illegal alien criminals. 70% of those who have been deported during the Trump administration this time had criminal records. And even the ones that you haven't caught want to keep their heads down because they don't want to get deported. And the way to keep from getting deported by ICE is to keep off police radar.
Before I run out of time, you had mentioned the FBI and the U.S. attorneys are bringing charges. Jeanine Pirro is bringing charges almost all the time now in these cases in the D.C. area, and the FBI has doubled their arrests. It's something that had been happening since district attorneys, basic, you know, county district attorneys had gone soft and been hijacked by the Soros right NGOs, is that police, and I know police who do this, really right like it when they can hand off the case to the feds. So they've got a Glock, some guy's got a Glock switch handed off to the feds. He's got a Nexus in Chicago. He commits the crime in Wisconsin, handed off to the feds. And the Biden administration, this is important, tried to thwart that end run that local police were doing to get some of these, you know, these longtime right violent offenders off the streets. The Biden administration put roadblocks in the way of local police departments having assistance by the ATF or the FBI to hand these cases off federally.
Right. Well, you know, and you also, the thing you have to realize is the demoralization of the police. I mean, if they go and arrest people and they're immediately released and they're not charged with anything, you know, they have to ask themselves, they put their lives at risk to go and arrest these dangerous criminals. They're these violent criminals. How much do they want to go and arrest people if they think that there's a high probability that nothing's going to happen to them? And so, you know, these guys want to do their job. That's one reason why you've seen retirements and people moving to Florida and officers moving to Florida and Texas and other places. But, you know, it has real consequences in many ways.
More cops, more arrests, longer jail sentences, no more slaps on. I mean, this is easy. Now, the good news, again, though, is that most of the problem in the United States is concentrated. So get out of those areas where it's concentrated. And at least we've got police who now can work with the feds again, very seamlessly to hand off cases if there is a federal nexus there. But it's really interesting because you kind of convince yourself that it's just it's an inevitability. And I will say this, the left wants it to be. You've got all the candidates in Wisconsin want to abolish prisons and abolish the police. Right. I mean, they want it to come to your door, too. But right now, it is a concentrated problem. John Lott, thank you so much for joining me on the program today.
Thanks for being there, Vicki.
And go to crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org. There's all kinds of stuff you can download, data you can download that will give you the facts and what is going on. We will take a quick break.